We're on Daf Tzadi Zayin, and we're up to Amar Rav Chisda Amar Rav, which is approximately 9 lines down from the top of the Amud. Halokeach Tfilin Mimisha Eino Yodea Mimisha Eino Mumcha Eino Yodua Lonu Kim Mumcha. Now, there are tefillin sellers who are in the business. They buy tefillin, and they sell tefillin. So they're what we call a middleman. And you're buying tefillin from this middleman, and you don't know how to check out the kashrus of the tefillin. Now, you may rely to some extent on the seller. He seems to be an honest person, but on the other hand, he bought the tefillin from other sellers, so maybe he's not able to testify about the kashrus of the tefillin. So the sugi that we're about to embark upon is the sugi called Bedikas Tefillin. Now, if let's say you buy a larger number of tefillin, let's say you're going to, I don't know, I'll give an example of, you've been invited for the next couple of months, you know, 6 months or a year, to 5 different bar mitzvahs. So you want to buy tefillin for each one of these bar mitzvah boys. And the question is, do you have to check out all 5 pairs of tefillin and guarantee that each one is kshera? Or if, let's say, the seller testifies that all these tefillin came from one source, from one manufacturer, then we can rely on chazaka. And we'll do a spot check. We'll check maybe 2 pairs of tefillin, maybe 3 pairs of tefillin, and we'll see if those are ksheros. Then that's enough of bedika such that you could rely that all the other tefillin that he's selling you, they came from the same source. Again, if they came from different sources, that's going to be our sugya for today. Then you might have to check more than 2 pairs of tefillin, more than 3 pairs of tefillin. So let's say if he sells you 5 pairs of tefillin, 3 came from one manufacturer and 2 came from the other, then even if you checked all 3 pairs of tefillin that came from one particular manufacturer, that could create a chazaka from that manufacturer, that supplier, we'll call it, but it doesn't tell you a thing about the other 2 pairs of tefillin that came from a different supplier. So that chazaka is something that's relative to the individual, meaning the chazaka could establish the kashrus of Reuven, who is supplying the tefillin. It doesn't necessarily establish the kashrus of Shimon. This is similar by sheer, just for the sake of nostalgia, you remember that sugya about cameos, and we weren't sure, you know, let's say there were certain concoctions that would be healthy and beneficial for a certain disease, and we needed to establish a chazaka. And the chazaka was not only in the, you know, in the product itself, but also in the person. So you could have, you know, this product looks good, and you can carry it for refuah on Shabbos, maybe because you've proven that this is an effective ripui or refuah, but maybe it doesn't prove anything about another person who is utilizing that same. You know, kamiya, but maybe he's not an expert and he doesn't know how to use that kamiya. So in any event, Rav, now we start with the sugya of Rav, and we're going to try to understand the logic of Rav. Rav says the following: Bodek shtayim shel yad v'acha shel rosh, o shtayim shel rosh v'acha shel yad. He has to check not 3 pairs of tefillin, but rather 3 tefillin, right? Every pair is made up of 2 tefillin, shel yad and shel rosh. He's got to get, let's say, he's got, we have all told, let's say, just 1 second, how many? Yeah, let's say we have 3 batim, right? And we want to know whether the manufacturer, that we'll call him the sofer, is a mumcha or not a mumcha. So then, according to Rav, it's okay if he checks out 2 shel yads, meaning the parshis of 2 tefillin, right? Two pairs of tefillin, in this case, two shel yads. And one shel rosh, which means that from the two pairs that he's buying from the same supplier, let's call them the same sofer, once he makes a spot check and he's checked out two shel rushes and one shel yad, or alternatively two shel yads and one shel rush, then he already has, let's call it a chazaka, I'm using that term loosely because that's what we have to analyze, but he has already three. Now, logically, this doesn't really make much sense, because it could be that this sofer is an expert when it comes to shel yads, but not necessarily shel rosh, right? There are different dinim, different parshios, and different ksharim that we need for the shel yad and the shel rosh. So the fact that he's proven himself to be an expert at one of the two, let's call it the shel rosh, that doesn't mean he's an expert on the shel yad. And in effect, you've only established his kashrus with regard to one shel yad, and that shouldn't be enough, because in the case of the shel rosh, you needed two. Let's say we have a machlokas in Masechet Yevamos between Rebbe and the Chacham, where the chazak is established to three times. If something repeats itself as a pattern three times, that's the shitas Chachamim. Rebbe holds that two is enough to establish a pattern, and you can rely on shtayim for a chazak. And this has tremendous implications in the laws of Nida, for example. If she saw on the same day, 2 months in a row, that does that create a chazkas hafloga? Or do we say she needs three? It has an afkamina legabe shar tam and shar muad. At what point is there a pattern established for this shar? That he's a muad, do we need two? And that's enough, or we need three? But even if I were to let me grant you that you can establish a chazak with twice, that already indicates a repetitive pattern. And therefore, if you checked out two shel rushes and they both turned out to be ksheros, that could establish a chazak. But the Gemara is going to question whether Rav seems to assume that you have to have at least one shel yad or one of the other. So you can have two shel yads and one rush, or two shel rushes and one yad. But obviously, Rav is holding that you have to be bodek not only the shel rush, but also the shel yad. Not only the shel yad, but also the shel rush. And the expertise and the kashrus that's established to be somechanim on one of the two, meaning on the shel rush or the shel yad, is not enough, is not sufficient evidence for the other tefillin. The tefillin shel yad, not for shel rush, and vice versa. So then you should require checking two pairs of shel rushes and two pairs of shel yad in order to establish a chazaka for both shel yad and shel rush. If, on the other hand, all you need is to check out, or let's say the other way around, if two is not enough for chazaka, and therefore you need three, so then the possibility exists that we can do it interchangeably and say that, well, he's established his kashrus three times over, two for shel rosh and one for shel yad, or vice versa. Yeah, but that's not going to be so simple. That's not smooth either, because then Rav should have said, check out three shel rushes or three shel yads of three different pairs. But it's always the same. It's always the shel rosh, or it's always the shel yad. So if the chazaka that Rav requires is the chazaka of three, like the chachamim of Rebbe and Yevamos, and if you're going to argue that whether or not it's shel rosh or shel yad, as long as you have a three times repetition of kashrus, that's enough to rely on him, then why should it require one being the other? One being the shel yad or one being the shel rosh? So Gemara says, Mimanafsha. E mechad gavra kazavin. Let's assume that all these pairs of tefillin are coming from one scribe, or at least one supplier coming from one scribe, is livdok, and let's add another premise that three creates a chazaka, is livdok o sholo shel yad, o sholo shel rush. You want to know what the gavra is a faker, he's a scandalous guy who's trying to pawn off You know, there's nothing inside these boxes. You know, they're just empty. Or, you know, he writes them on paper, mass produces them. You've heard all the scandals of tefillin. I don't have to tell you about that. So if he's a, you know, if he's a scandalous guy, you want to know whether he's reliable or not. So you need three times that he's proved his kashrus. Then the Gemara says, Livdok o shalosh, shal yad o shal shal rush. If three establishes chazok of kashrus, if he hasn't pawned on you, you know, fake shell rushes on three occasions, you've checked him out and he's reliable, then he should be reliable for the shell yad as well. He's not a faker. How do I know he's not a faker? Because he's proven himself three times over. V'imitre t'losa gavri zovin, if he's buying his tefillin from either two or three different sofrim, so then kol chad v'chad liboy b'dika, then basically each one of them, every tefillin should require, in other words, every pair of tefillin that are coming from a different scribe should require its own bedika. Because even if you've established that the sofer, let's say he writes tefillin, and you've checked him out, and you found that he's supplying you with ksheros, but that's not the same sofer who's selling you other pairs of tefillin. So the fact that Reuven is an honest person doesn't tell you that Shimon is reliable. Li'olam, the Gemara says, Michad Gavra Zovin. We're going to have to assume that if Rav establishes a chazaka based on three, he's talking about one scribe. But Be'ina de Mismache B'shel Yad U'B'shel Rosh. And now the Gemara introduces the problem of mumchiyut. Fine, you can prove that all these tefillin are coming from one scribe. And if that be the case, let's see if he can be proven on three rounds to establish chazaka. But then why do you need both tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh? So the Gemara says you need to prove that he's a mumche. We're not talking about honesty anymore. Until now, the Gemara thought that it's an issue of honesty, and therefore the Gemara objected, what good is it if you prove that Reuven is honest, and he's, you know, passed the test with flying colors on three occasions, that doesn't say anything and prove anything about Shimon. If Shimon is a scribe, you're going to have to prove Shimon with a chazak of three times. So the Gemara answers, no, there's only one scribe. No, if there's only one scribe, then why not prove by three bedikos, whether they're all shel yad, all shel rosh, and that would establish the honesty and the integrity of the person who's the scribe who's selling you the tefillin. You did a spot check three times over. That sets a pattern that he's reliable and he's selling you tefillin ksheros. So why does it have to be shel yad and shel rosh, representative of both? And the Gemara answers, because we're not dealing with a question of honesty, but rather the question of expertise, of mumchiyut. And a person could have staged, shall we say, as a mumcha in shel rosh and not in shel yad, or vice versa. And there are different laws and different perfections and conditions that have to be met for both shel yad and shel rosh. And therefore I need... Oh, so now the question is, well, wait a second. If I need to prove not only his honesty and his integrity, but also his mumchiyut, why is it enough that we have one representation of either of the two? And the answer is, because once we have bodek, and we saw that he's capable of either a shel yad or shel rosh, that means he's a mumcha in both. For that, I don't have to prove more than one time. Now, let's say I knew for sure, up front, that Reuven, who's selling me tefillin, is an honest person. All I would have to do is check two batim. I need the batim of a shel yad and a batim of a shel rosh just to prove mumchis. But here I need to prove two things. I need to prove, number one, that he's an honest, reliable person. For that I need three. But for that matter, three shel batim, shel rosh would be sufficient. Three shel yad would be sufficient. Now, as far as mumchis is concerned, all I need is one indication that he's a mumcha. So that in order to prove honesty when you're talking about the whole enterprise of the kashrus of tefillin, and we're talking about the gavra as a kosher, so for that we need hilchas chazaka. the fact that on one occasion he got it right, because again, he's not going to be scandalous to the extent that every single pair of tefillin he sells on the market is worthless. So we're going to have to prove from three different pairs of tefillin, again, when I say pair, I mean either a shel rosh or a shel yad, that he's honest, then three spot checks is enough to prove that he's an honest person. Less than three will not do, because we're holding now chazokah kechachamim that you need three. So I do a spot check three times over, and I assume now that everything he's selling to me is kosher. But when it comes to mumchius, all I need is one proof. So I need one proof for shel yad and one proof for shel rosh. Here's a shel yad, and it's kosher. Here's a shel rosh, and it's kosher. He's a mumcha for both shel yad and shel rosh. One is enough. Frek the Gemara Eini, is this so? Vahatani Rava Bar Shmuel. Now it's very interesting. The Gemara is assuming that Rava Bar Shmuel is the expert in bringing brisos that are reliable. You know, every brisa is sort of subject to suspicion. Unless the Amora who brought the brisa, who quoted the brisa, transmitted it, is a reliable Amora. So one of the various sources of brisos, usually we have Rav Chiya, is Rava Bar Shmuel. So he brought a brisa in tefillin, as far as checking out tefillin is concerned. And we are buying tefillin, and we don't know about the cheskas mumche of the sofer. Is then bodek shalosh shel yad vishel rosh. Whoa! Now we see that even with regard to mumchios, we need three, and therefore we're going to have to check out six pair of tefillin. What do I mean by six pair of tefillin? I shouldn't use the word pair, but what I mean, instead of the word pair, I should use batim, if you follow what I mean, which is a half of a pair. Why do I need six? Because he has to establish himself as a mumche with three times over. Maybe he got it right on one occasion. Maybe he got it right on two occasions. Again, we're not talking about honesty right now. We're talking about professional skills. And the fact that he succeeded in creating perfect batim on one occasion or two occasions, that's not enough. We're dropping the original premise in our understanding of Rab, because now we have the brisa of Shmuel, Rab of Shmuel, and in this brisa we see that even Mulchius requires a chazak of three times over. So a man throws the basketball from outside, right? An outside shot. He got it in. He got it once. He got it twice. Doesn't prove that he's an expert in the outside shot. He needs three times. Now, says the Brice of Rabba Bar Shmuel, I need three times for the Shel Yad and three times for the Shel Rosh. Is if that be the case, then how is it possible that Rav would say that for Mumchius, all I need is one of either the Shel Rosh or the Shel Yad? So the Gemara answers, lo. Let's reinterpret the Braisa. The Braisa says, Shalosh mehen, and part of them are Shel Yad, and part of them are Shel Rosh. Meaning, we're going to reconcile this brisa with Rav, and we're going to say that all you need is to check out three batim, but you have to guarantee that in this spot check of three, you're going to need to check out some yad and some rush. They can't be all shel yad and all shel rush, because the expertise for one, let's call it shel yad, is not going to be sufficient for the shel rush. The Gemara is not happy with that interpretation either, because of another brisa. And that is the brisa of Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana was also one of the various Amoraim that brought the brisa, the reliable brisos. And we're going to see Lakula in this brisa, the previous brisa of Rav Bar Shmuel seemed to indicate l'chumra that we need three shel yads and three shel rushes. And now, we're going to try to prove from Rav Kahana that we don't even need to check out three, that all we have to do is check out two. V'atani Rav Kahana, b'tfilin bodek shtayim, which means one is shel yad and one is shel rush. Now, on the one hand, the good news is that as far as mumchius is concerned, all we need is one pair of tefillin. One shel rush and one shel yad. That supports the position of Rav, that for mumchius we establish mumchius based on one, not like the Braisa that we thought l'chatchila in our first interpretation of the Braisa of Rav Bar Shmuel, that you need shalosh of each to establish mumchius of each, shel yad and shel rush. No, one of each is sufficient. That's the good news. And that really supports Rav. But the bad news is that Rav ends up with checking three pairs of tefillin, two of which are of one gender and one is the other gender. Here, the Braisa Rav Kahana says, all I need is sufficient to be bodek, two pairs of tefillin, one of which is a shel yad, the other is shel rush. Now, is Rav Kahana's Braisa maintaining that in general, bedikas, the machayev of bedikas tefillin is only mumchius, right? There's a suffix mumche, but there's no suffix kashrus, meaning he's not a person who is scandalous and he's trying to cheat us, that we need a chazaka to establish his reliability, because if it's a matter of the machayev is reliability, which means the kashrus, then Rav is right, we need three as a chazaka, because the Gemara is assuming now that we're holding like Rav, I'm sorry, we're holding like the Chachamim of Rebbe in Masechta Yevamos, that a chazaka requires a minimum of three, less than three does not establish a pattern. And Rav, therefore applying this to Tefillin, says that your bedika to establish his reliability has to entail three different bedikas. You'll need one minimum of each of the two types of tefillin, because we need a halach of mumchius. Mumchius means one of each. So why does Rav Kahana's Braisa say it's enough that we check two pairs of tefillin, one of each gender, so to speak? His Gemara answers, you know what? Rav doesn't have to reconcile himself with every single Braisa on the face of the earth, because Hamani, the Braisa of Rav Kahana, reflects the sheet of Rebbe he. And Rebbe holds that all you need for a chazaka, the Amri, the Omar. And here we're gonna learn the sugya of Rebbe is betray Zimni Havi Chazaka. So what's the case? The Gemara says in Yevamos Hadas Samach Dalet Amud Beis, Isha Shenisa Li Adam Umes. She got married and her husband's gestorben. The Achikach Nisa Li Adam Nosaf Umes. She married now Shimon, Erez gestorben. Is Ladas Rebbe? Rebbe holds Huchzaka Isha Zu. This woman has a chazaka of what's called a horeges baleha. Now again, you know, you and I might ask, well, how old was her husband? You know, if he's 98, maybe she didn't kill him. You know, he died of old age. Again, in Canada, 98 is nothing, but I knew a woman in Canada who was 104, and she was climbing steps. But that's because you survived the Canadian winters. You know, you have to, it's survival of the fittest. That's my sheet about Canada. Anyway, so Rebbe says that she killed two husbands and she's a horeges. And therefore, again, you have to see the sugya inside because there's so many nuances, but also, she's not allowed to marry a third husband. Rav Shimon Gamliel, representing the Chachamim, he says, no. Nisa l'shlosha anashim, if she married to three men, one after the other, they all drop dead, is then she's not allowed to get married. But Shnei Pamim is not a chazaka. And the Gemara is going to extrapolate from that machlokas about horeges, whether she has a chazaka of horeges or not, to other cases in Shas. And here we see a Masechta Erev in the Gemara is applying by analogy this machlokas between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel to the question of how to check out and establish a chazaka in the case of tefillin. How many bedikos do we need? And Rebbe says two bedikos. And the Braisa of Rav Kahana following the sheet of Rebbe holds that two bedikos are sufficient, whereas Rav reflects the sheet of the Chachamim of Shimon Gamliel that you need three in order to establish Chazaka. So right now everything really fits into place. I mean, Rav is going to establish Mumchius based on one tefillin shel Yad, one tefillin shel Rosh, but to establish a Chazaka as far as the Gavra is concerned, we need three pairs of tefillin. So you have to add a one shel Rosh shel Yad. But Rav Kahana's Braisa, reflecting the sheet of Rebbe, says that we can kill two birds with one stone, meaning with two bedikos we can accomplish both of our goals and establish the mumchius of this person, because he's a mumcha in shel Rosh or shel Yad based on one, and as far as his status as a gavra bar samcha, two bedikos establish and generate that chazak. And as we said before, Rav doesn't have to reconcile with every single price on the face of the earth, because Rebbe Shita is Rebbe Shita, and it will manifest itself in various prices. So the Gemara asks the following kasha. There's something called a tzvat. Tzvat is a pile. And they would have, so to speak, compartments of tefillin that were piled one on top of the other. So the Gemara says, "E Rebbe, if the Braisa of Rav Kahana reflects the sheet of Rebbe, Ema Seifa. Let's learn the Seifa of that Braisa." And a person is now purchasing what we call Tzvat, which is Aremos of tefillin. Every one of these Aremos, with an ayin, right, Aremos, has many pairs of tefillin. And the Braisa is going to say that he has to check one pair of tefillin from, let's say, the first Arema. We'll give one example. So he checks out a tefillin shel Rosh and a tefillin shel Yad from one Arema. And again, according to the Braisa of Rebbe, of Rav Kahana, in the name of Rebbe, once he has two bedikos, he's already established the chazaka. But that's only vis-a-vis one arema. Now he's up to the next arema. V'chein b'tzvat hasheni. Now he gets to the second arema, and he needs to do again that same spot check, which means two times. He has to be bodek a yad and shel rosh from the second arema, mitzvah hashlishi, and so when he gets to the third arema, likewise, he has to check out that third arema as well. And the bedika requires that he check out a shel rosh and a shel yad from that arema. Now, it seems that he doesn't have to check out the fourth arema. That's not explicit in the Braisa, but the Gemara is assuming that the Braisa is establishing to what extent, in this case of aremos aremos, how far does he have to go? And the answer is he needs a shel yad and shel rosh from each one of the three aremos, but he doesn't need to check out the fourth arema. Which means that the chazaka, vis-a-vis all these... Now again, whether these aremos came from different scribes or not, hold off on that for a moment. But the Gemara says, "E Rebbe, ishlishi mi islay." Why does Rebbe require that we check out a shel rosh and a shel yad from the third arema? We're now holding, according to Rebbe, that a chazak is established with two occurrences, and therefore, once he was bodek two aremos and he found that they were both huksheru, that should effectuate a chazakah for all the other aremos. But from the fact that the Sefer records a requirement of being bodek all three aremos, in this case, it means that this Braisa reflects the Shita not of Rebbe, but of Shimon Gamliel, that a chazakah requires three times. Now we're really back to square one. Because if the Sefer the Braisa reflects the Shita of Shimon Gamliel and requires three in order to establish Chazaka, then why is it in the Reisha that the Reisha says that all you have to be bodik is two, one shall rush and one shall yad? Why is two sufficient? So basically, the Gemara's kasha here is a stira between the Reisha and the Seifa. In the case of our Ramos, we came to the conclusion that three will establish Chazaka. You have to check out all three Aremos. In the case of the Reisha, all you needed was a spot check of one shall rush and one shall yad. That established a Chazaka. And if you have kashrus in one shall yad and one shall rush, that indicates that everything is kosher v'yosher, and we're going to rely on the Chazaka of Shtayim, and that reflects the Shita of Rebbe. So how could it be that the Reisha is Rebbe and the Sefer when it comes to Aremos or Tzvatayim? It reflects the Shita of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So the Gemara answers, the Braisa reflects the Shita of Rebbe, and the Reisha makes sense. I and the Sefer, we require checking out all three Aremos. Is Modera Rebbe Bitzvatim. Rebbe agrees and concedes that in the case where he's checking out the bottom of Tefillin, he's got to do so from all three Tzvatim. And every Tzvas is a separate entity that engenders its own Chiyuv Bidika, which means you have to be Bodek two batim, a shel rush and a shel yad minimum, from each one of the tzvatim. Why is that so? Why is each tzvat a separate entity? Each tzvat, I should pronounce it. And the answer is, the mitrei tlosa gavri zovin. That when you're buying from different piles of tefillin, then the assumption is you're buying from two or three different people. And therefore, the tzavas of this person and the tzava of another person are two separate bedikos, two separate series of bedikos. You're really checking out the person who is selling you the tefillin. So therefore, if you prove the kashrus of the sofer who was in charge of producing, of writing one arema, the first arema, that doesn't prove anything about the sofer of the second arema. And even if you check out the first arema and the second arema, that doesn't prove anything about the kashrus of the third sofer. Now, the Gemara is assuming that it could be that one sofer was responsible for manufacturing two aremos, but not three aremos. One of these three aremos certainly belongs to a different sofer. So even if you've proven in the first arema and the second arema by checking out two batim, or shel yad and shel rush from each one of those aremos, that might prove that the sofer who wrote the tefillin in the two aremos is kosher, but doesn't prove anything about the kashrus of the sofer in the third arema, because again, the assumption is that one of these three aremos was certainly written by a different sofer. Possibly all three aremos were written by three different sofer. So the Gemara is still not happy. Why? Ihachi, if you're going to tell me that each arema was purchased from a different sofer, or at least two out of the three, is an afilu bitzvas revi nami. Your chazaka, by checking out three aremos, should not in any way help you for the fourth arema. Is there any proof positive that the fourth arema contains tefillin that were written by one of the sofrim of the first three aremos? No proof. Maybe the fourth arema was written by a different sofer, and that makes sense. And they have afilu chamishi nami. And even if you check out four different aremos, each one a yad and shel rush, that doesn't prove anything about the fifth arema. Why then does the Braisa indicate that three aremos is the maximum number of bedikos that you need, if each harema might be written by another sofer. So the Gemara now is going to introduce the Shita of Chizkiah, of Rebbe, right? I mean, and the Gemara says, fine, Haidik Tani Shlishi Lafuki Mi. Okay, some read it Chizkiah, but I'm going to read it Chazake. Okay, meaning Rebbe. The word Chazke here, which reinterpreted as referring to one Amora, is really referring to a Tana. It's referring to Rebbe. And we're going to have to see how Rashi puts the Nikud here. You know, it's all a matter of the vocalization, if I could use that word. So the Nikud, Rashi says, of this word is not Chizkiah, but rather Chazke, which means his Chazaka. And Rashi interprets this to refer to the Chazaka of Rebbe. Now, the real scholars in Talmudic science use very often a sefer called the Dukei Sofrim. And the Dukei Sofrim has a totally different girsa in this Gemara. And he has it, well, it's actually not a different girsa, but a different vocalization or nikud, and he has the girsa of Lafuke Lerebi Michizkiah. So instead of reading it as Chezke, it's Chizkiah. So let's keep that in mind, the Dikduke Sofrim. But right now we're going to interpret according to Rashi, and we're going to read it Chazake, meaning from the Chazaka of Rebbe. Okay. So what exactly does the Gemara say about Tzevet or Tzvat Shlishi? Why does the Braisa stop at the number 3? And the answer is not to exclude 4 and 5. Every Arema needs a Chazaka unto itself, and therefore you have to be Bodik, the Shalyad, and the Shalrosh. And therefore, there was really no point, except Lafuki, as we'll get to, in the Braisa mentioning 3 aremos. The number 3 has no significance. Every arema needs its own bedika, because every arema theoretically comes from its own sofer. So why then did the Braisa mention the number 3? And the Gemara wants to tell you, Lafuki, to exclude the Chazaka of Rebbe of 2. So Liolam, the Gemara says, Afilu Reviv Chamishi Nami. We need a bedika on all the aremos to establish each one is an arema kshera. And Enochinami, even Rebbe, would require a bedika for each one of the aremos, because each one of the aremos represents a different sofer, or possibly a different sofer. But rather, the Mishnah wants to tell us, well, I should say the Tana wants to tell us, that the din is not like Rebbe, who, in general, Rebbe holds that twice sets up a chazaka, but rather we need to be bodek the 3rd arema, because that's not going to establish a cheskes kashrus on one arema to the next arema, and certainly not to the 3rd arema, but rather we have to be bodek the 3rd arema as well, and the cheskes kashrus of the arema, of one arema, doesn't establish any cheskes kashrus for the second arema. So I'm not sure why that's called Lafuki Cheske de Rebbe. I mean, it's just like it's almost like Darshinon Ribuye de Kra. You know, it's like if you have an extra word in a pasuk or an extra letter. So we try to figure out, you know, what it's coming to include or to exclude. And here the Mishnah, or the Braisa, makes no sense, because the number 3 in the context of being Bodek Aremos is totally irrelevant. In truth, it's irrelevant even according to Rebbe, because you have to check out each Arema insofar as each Arema is coming from a different sofer. So the strange, inexplicable, unjustified use of the word shalosh here, as far as the Aremos is concerned, is simply to tell you that chazaka requires three. It has no meaning, or no, shall I say, no justification in and of itself. Even if I would accept Rebbe, the number three has no significance. One Arema is irrelevant to another Arema. Each Arema stands on its own as a separate entity needing its own bedika, because each Arema comes from a different sofer. And you could have said one Arema is not enough, two Aremas. You could have said two Arema is not enough, you need three. And three Arema is not enough, you need four and five, because each Arema needs its own bedika. But the Braisa, Agav Urcha, wants to tell you that the magic number for Chazakah, since the subject of this Braisa is establishing a Cheskas Kashrus, the magic number is three. Even though in its context, literally, the number 3 year is irrelevant, because as we said before, each Arema is a separate entity. Now, I just want to quote a footnote here that I found in the English edition. Just one second. Where am I? Just one second, sorry. He says the following. If each pile comes from a different supplier, then even the fourth and even the fifth have to be checked. Enochinami, the Gemara answers. Rebbe concedes that the fourth and fifth bundles must also be examined. And likewise others, if there are sixth, seventh, or eighth. But what is the reason that Rav Kahana and his Braisa taught about a third bundle? This is to exclude from the law of Chazak. Uliola mafilu revive chamishi nam. So I want to read to you this footnote. He says the following. Ordinarily, Rebbe rules that a chazak is created by two occurrences. In this case, however, of bundles that were obtained from multiple suppliers, Rebbe holds that no chazakah is possible, as we explained, meaning that each supplier needs his own chazakah. Thus, by ruling that a third bundle must be inspected, which means, again, multiple suppliers, Rav Kahana thereby indicates that no chazakah was established by the first two examinations, and that all additional bundles must be checked. So the way I read this note, I mean, I shouldn't build too much on my reading of Artscroll, but I think what he's saying is not the way we said it. I said that Lafuki Mechezke is like Darshinan Ribuya de Kro. And Chezke de Rebbe here means that we're trying to establish that a chazakah is not with two times, but we need a chazakah with three times. And here in the Masifti writes, Ein adin kimo b'chol makom k'rebi shemachzikim b'dover pa'mayim. So I'm not sure what he's saying, but according to the English translation, we're not coming to exclude Rebbe, but rather we're saying that Rebbe himself would exclude a chazak of shtayim. Again, you would need a bedika on 3, 4, 5, 6, etc. But he mentions 3, lafuki 2, because normally Rebbe would rely on a chazak of twice. But here in this case, and since Isa Rema is defined as a separate supplier and it's nidon b'fnei atzmo, therefore even Rebbe agrees that we have to go beyond 2. And the word 3 here in this braisa means beyond 2. How much is it beyond 2? Well, it depends on how many aremos you have. So it's not the way we, again, why I say we, I'm using the royal we here, not the way we understood that lafuki mi chazake de Rebbe means that we're excluding Rebbe's shita. No. We're excluding the normal mechanics of Rebbe, which were to lie relying on two, because now each harema is a separate entity. The Mishnah says on Daf Tzadi, hey, mitzon tzvasim, o krichos, is machshich alein umeviyam. So what does this mean? We're talking about what's called machshich alatchum, my tzvasim umay krichos. What's the difference between the krochim and the krichos? Om Rabbi Yudom Arav, hein hein tzvasim, hein hein krichos. That tzvasim and krichos are both bundles of many pairs of tefillin. And you're allowed to be machshich alatchum. Normally, we don't allow you to go out to the Tchum Shabbos during Shabbos so that you could be there immediately to do the malach that you have to do with the end of Shabbos, with Tzeisa Kol Chavim. But for a Dvar Mitzvah, like this case of saving Tefillin, we're going to allow you to be Machshich Al Tchum. And this applies both to the case of Tzvasim and to the case of Krichos. And the Gemara says, why does the Mishnah have to mention both, since they are identical? And the Gemara answers in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Tzvasim Zvavei Zvavei, which means Zugos Zugos, and Krichos the Krichta the Krichon Tuva. So in the case of Tzvasim, you have piles of tefillin that are tied together. So it means the following. Each pair of tefillin, let's call it a shal yad and shal rosh, is set unto itself. Meaning it's not tied. You don't tie the tefillin shal yad to the tefillin shal rosh. But what he did was, I'm sorry, just the opposite. We're talking about tzvasim. Okay, I skipped to krichos. So what's tzvasim? Tzvasim means that first he ties each zug, right? Zvei means each zug, zavei. So he ties each zug unto itself. That's kesher number one. So he's got shel rosh and shel yad. And then he ties together all these different pairs of tefillin and makes them into one entity. We'll call it aguda achas. Krichos is the krichon tuva. In other words, he doesn't tie each pair shel rosh to shel yad, but rather, he has many batim of shal yad and shal rosh. They're all mixed up and mishka babel together. So there's no separate pair. And he ties them all together. Now, the question is, why does the Mishnah bother telling me such great detail about svatim and krichos? Okay, there are different ways of doing it. In some cases, you could tie each pair together. Sometimes they're all mixed up, so you tie them many together. And they're not separate as pairs. But why would we even have had a havamina to differentiate between the two? So I wanted to share with you the Teferes Yisrael. And unfortunately, you know, Tiferes Yisrael has sort of like fallen out of use. I mean, in the old days, I call it the pre-Kahati days. You know, you didn't learn a Mishnah without the Tiferes, with the Yochin Uboaz. Today, nobody even buys the Mishnais, the Ayin Beis Perush. Anyway, so he quotes here the Tiferes Yisrael. Madua hutzrach atano l'shanos gam tzfosim v'gam krichos shekein ein shum svara Shechiluk bedin bein zelize, madulo pirshu hagemara. She tzvatim hem krichos shel tefillin she einon kshuros. The efshal achnisim b'shabes mitnei shemerubin hem. Vilukrichos and tefillin mu'atos hakruchos ukshusu lezu. Vienu yochel ahatius hakesher b'shabes kidei lelovshon. Oh, shegam tzvosim hein tefillin mu'atos el she'em b'em kesher shel tefillin v'efshel anicha b'shabes v'nei she'osu lekosher b'shabes. Okay. So let's understand the following by way of introduction to the Tiferes Yisrael. And he says the following, that the reason why we're going to allow you to be machshich al tchum for the sake of these piles of tefillin is because on the one hand we have to save these tefillin, because they could get lost, so we want to get the first opportune moment to save them. On the other hand, we cannot save them on Shabbos. Why? Because they're kshuros zu lezu. And we cannot undo the kesher, and therefore says the Tiferes Yisrael, efshal achnisam b'Shabbos. And he offers two possibilities. Why is it he efshalach nisam b'shabes so that we are allowing to allow him to position himself at the tchum Shabbos so that immediately after Shabbos he will save the tefillin? Why is he efshalach nisam b'shabes? So there are one or two possibilities. One is because merubim hem, which means that there are so many pairs of tefillin that have to be saved. There's not enough time to engineer carrying, or I should say wearing, these pairs of tefillin. So there's a number of pairs of tefillin that will not be worn into Rishus HaYochid, and therefore they will be left abandoned out there in a place that's very precarious, and therefore Machshichin al Tchum. And the Tiferes Yisrael says that Kruchos fits that category. No, I'm sorry. Okay, it's a linguistics here, but Tzvasim doesn't fit that category. So again, Tzvasim, according to Tiferes Yisrael, would be piles of tefillin, many, many tefillin, but they're not tied together. And therefore, if they're not tied together, you could wear each tefillin separately. But there are so many pairs of tefillin, so we're talking about not echus, but kamus. You know, in kamus, there are so many pairs of tefillin that he cannot wear them all and save them all. Therefore, there's a heter of machshich al tchum. Krichos, on the other hand, he says, are tefillin mu'atos, there's a very limited amount of tefillin, but that kruchos, what does the word kruchos mean? Kshuros zu bezu. Right? Like, kruchos means, you know, when you have like a sandwich, you know, so they're sandwiched together because they are tied together. And he cannot be matir the kesher on Shabbos in order to wear them. And he suggests that that could be a rationale as to why the Mishnah mentions both tzvasim and kruchos, where the Gemara says, krichos tuva, right? Whereas zvei means that they are kshuros. So you have tuva and you have kshuros. And the two different reasons why we're going to allow machshichas atchum. In the case of tuva, what we're going to have is there's such a volume or an amount of tefillin that there's no possibility that he could bring them all in and wear them all on Shabbos. And that's called tuva. And then you have something called zave, which means kshuros. And you cannot wear these tefillin, none of them, for that matter, because you cannot be matir the kesher on Shabbos in order to wear them. Now, linguistically, and with this we'll end for today, the Tiferes Yisrael leaves this as a kasha, because The Gemara identifies krichin as tuva and tzvasim as zave zave. Whereas the way that the Tiferes Yisrael wanted to explain it, it's krichos means they are tied together like bundles, you know, like packages or like sandwiches. And there's no way you are allowed on Shabbos to undo the knots that tie together the various pairs of tefillin. So that was kruchos. Whereas tzvasim were many, many piles, one on top of the other, but they weren't kruchos. They weren't kshuros. So that the Tiferes Yisrael ends up in a dead end, you know, in a tzarchi and gadol. Why? Because the Gemara's language is very difficult. The Gemara should have said that tzvasim is tuva, because tzvasim are many, many piles of tefillin, and it's impossible to wear all the tefillin. Whereas krichos are zave zave. Krichos means they are kshuros yachad, and you have to undye the knot, which you cannot do on Shabbos. So just to end the shiur, I'll tell you the following, that what we're saying is that on a conceptual level, we can understand why the Mishnah mentioned these two categories, but in terms of the linguistics of the way the Gemara interprets tzvasim and krichin, we cannot reconcile that with our conceptual distinction. Because conceptually, we want to say that tzvasim means that they are piled one on top of the other. There's a massive volume of tefillin. There's no way you can save all the tefillin by wearing them all on Shabbos. Therefore, we're allowing you to be machshich the tchum. Krichos, on the other hand, refer to not such a volume. They are mu'atos, but nevertheless, they are tied together in a kesher that you cannot be matir on Shabbos, and therefore there's no way you can take in any of these tefillin into the Rishus HaYochid on Shabbos. And therefore, we're going to be matir Machshich es atchum. Now let's return for a moment to the Gemara's Hava Mina, that E Rebbe Shlishi Mi Isle, meaning that if we've already established that this Brisa on the Reisha that suffices with two Bedikos reflects the Shita Rebbe, then in the Sefer, why do we require Bedikos on each of three Aremos? Two aremos should be sufficient, and the Gemara establishes that Moda Rebbe b'tzvasim, because each arema is independent and it was created and manufactured by a different scribe. But the implication of the Gemara's kasha is that if the Reisha would have reflected the Shita of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that the magic number is three, then we wouldn't have asked this kasha from the Sefer. Why does it say tzvatim shalosh? And the Rashba asks, I don't understand. Even if I would grant you that the Reisha is not Rebbe, I would still have a Kasha Reisha L'Seifa, because the Reisha says that's enough to have two Bedikos. And the Seifa says you need three Bedikos. So how do we reconcile the Reisha and the Seifa? Well, what's the most language here that says, E Rebbe, now that you're saying the Braisa reflects Rebbe, and that's what we saw in the Reisha, the Braisa, Ema Seifa, how are we going to deal with Tzvas HaShlishi, that Rebbe all of a sudden requires a bdika on the third of the three tzvasim. Even according to Rav Gamliel, we'd have no reconciliation between the Reisha and the Sefer, the Reisha requiring no more than two bdikas, and the Sefer requiring three bdikas. So the Rashba answers, in the name of the Raivid, that the Gemara's Kasha is on the Tartzon, who said that the Brisa is like Rebbe. V'savar shekach yesh li yashiv es habrais v'hikshu olav harei es ha-sefi efshel lahamid k'rebi al kochach lomash habrais ha-mishubeshes. So the Ravid says that what the Gemara's goal was to prove that this price is mishubeshes, and why did the Tartzan try to interpret the price? So there's an inner contradiction in the price, which means that the price is not reliable. So after quoting the Ravid, the Rashba is unhappy. He says, "Mea Gemara Mashma Shah Amora Shehikshami Resha, who's Zeh Shehikshami Seifa?" The same Amora who asked the Kash from the Resha is the same Amora who's now asking a Kash from the Seifa. And if he was trying to prove that the Brisa is Mishubeshes, why did he ask for this price to begin with? So therefore, the Rashba says the following: Hamakshon Savar Sheefshal Lahamid is Kol Abraisa Ki Rav Shimon Gamliel, and Chazok is Bishlosha, not Bishtayim. But nevertheless, in the ratio, once he checks a Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, and he finds the Biksheros, even Rav Shimon Gamliel would hold that a Chazoka has been established that he's a Baki in Ksivas Tefillin. Unfortunately, the Rashba leaves us sort of hanging as to why a Chazoka in the case of Ksivas HaTefillin to establish that this sofer has a pattern that he writes Tefillin Ksheros, even according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, all you would need is two. So let's just mention the Ritva. The Ritva writes that in the ratio with regard to Tefillin, if they're not from Tzvasim, Hikilu Bazeh Mishum Shestam Mitsuyim Eitzel Tefillin Mumchenheim. Just like we say by Shechita, that anyone who picks up a chalif knife and cuts the animal, he's probably a mumcha. So too, anyone who picks up a quill and he writes Tefillin, he's probably a mumcha. And therefore, to be machzik and bekashrus, all we need is shtei piyamim. The Sefer is talking about a case of tzvasim. And now we have three times that we have to be machzik all the tzvasim, becheskes ksheros. So once we were mamid the Braisa and the Gemara, that the ratio reflects Rebbe, who holds that two times is enough to establish chazoka, now the machshin comes back and he asks, what are we going to do with the Sefer? Because if the Sefer, like the ratio, reflects the sheet of Rebbe, why is it that you have to be bodek shalosh tzvasim? So we're going to stop here. We're nine lines up before the end of the Omid on Sadi Zion Omid Aleph. Machshich alehen u'mevion.